Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Your host, welcome center stage. For tonight's topic, smart meters, unsafe, untested, unapproved. If you are not familiar with what a smart meter is, they are an electric meter that records your consumption of the electric energy in intervals of an hour or less and communicates that information at least daily back to the utility company for monitoring and billing purposes. The smart meter is currently being placed on everyone's home and businesses. They're replacing the old analog meter, allegedly because they are more efficient. But our guests tonight think otherwise. We will speak with Josh Del Sol, which we're waiting on him to call in, and Thelma Tormina. Josh is with the Take Back YourPower.com website, and Thelma Tormina is with the 912 group out of Houston, Texas. They're both involved in what I call an anti-smart meter movement. So while we're waiting on Josh to call in, we're going to go to his trailer that tells you a little bit about what they're doing. They have a documentary that they've been working on that's talking about the smart meter. And some of the things that we need to be concerned about where it relates to the smart meter. And we're just going to play you just the trailer on it, and hopefully Josh can call in and tell us a little bit more about it in just a little while. Okay, y'all, we're going to go to it. The title of the trailer is Take Back Your Power, The Smart Meter Unveil. Hold on, and here we go.
Put a story out there. It's wrong, but what the heck? We're going to go with it. We're going to look you straight in the eye, and we're going to lie to you. What are you going to do about it? It is raising new questions tonight about the accuracy of PG&E's controversial new smart meters.
People all over the state have been complaining about inflated bills. Her bill was $873.
Bills not save energy, so smart grids missed the mark on energy savings.
It's all about money. We're going to be charged for time of use. One day it's coming.
And they're going to start having a profile of you as an individual. How you use your time, how you spend your energy, what you think.
Right down to the micro level. I mean, this is control freakery. It is the wet dream of the technocrats.
So you've got massive data storage areas that never existed before, specifically to accommodate the accumulation of this kind of knowledge.
The next thing you know, people are walking up in the early morning hours to people's houses, taking off the analog meters and putting on the smart meters without telling anybody.
And now there are real concerns that they can blow a fuse and even explode and put those homes at risk. Half a dozen smart meters across one to two suburbs have exploded.
422 fires were discovered as a byproduct of the smart meter installation. Smart meter had signed up. It looked like it had exploded.
Hydro's billion-dollar smart meter program wrote back saying it's not responsible for any loss, injury, damage, or expense. The evidence gets stronger and stronger that there are adverse health effects that these regulatory agencies can no longer deny.
I can't tell you how many people have called me who became dreadfully ill the minute one of them got put on their house.
The smart meter stopped my heart completely. The smart meter was installed. Within weeks, the patient has a dramatic downturn in brain function. He was no longer able to walk. 6 months later, he died.
We've given them consent by being quiet. We can't afford to be quiet. This is a game changer.
People are rising up and they're finally saying, no, we have to take back our power in all senses of the word.
That was the trailer from the new documentary that's coming out very soon, titled "Take Back Your Power: The Smart Meter." I'm sorry, the Smart Meter Agenda Unveiled. Like I said, we're waiting on Mr. Josh Del Sol to call in tonight. He's one of our guests, and he's with the website TakeBackYourPower.com, who are the ones that are doing that documentary, and we want to definitely hear more about it. I think he has arrived. We're going to go to Thelma Tormina and Josh Del Sol. Good evening.
Hi, Carrie. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay.
Are you there?
Excellent. Yes, I
am.
I'm here. Forgive me, I was having a technical difficulty, but I'm on now.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that trailer we just heard.
Yeah, that trailer was released in October, and we're very close to getting the film completed. And we've interviewed over 70 people from four countries to bring basically the best information that is, you know, getting the truth out about this very important issue about the smart meter agenda, about the smart grid that's being installed worldwide without people's voice and against people's consent. So we're very excited and just feeling a sense of urgency of getting this information out to all the, you know, people everywhere so that they can share that with people they know and really take back our power,
okay,
so to speak.
Okay. And actually, Josh is only going to be able to be with us for the first portion of the show, so we're going to ask him quite a few questions early on. First of all, I'd like to go back to the title of your documentary called Take Back Your Power, The Smart Meter Agenda Unveil. What is the Smart Meter Agenda? Smart Meter Agenda?
Well, it's a little bit of a culmination of what could potentially be a turning point. So there's a huge opportunity in this. But what's happened is utilities and governments have sort of got together that and said that in the name of efficiency and saving energy and increasing, you know, energy uptime and so forth, that a smart meter or a smart grid, a smart meter is part of the overall grid, is being installed in people's homes, and it's going to give the utility and it's going to give the government and anybody with an ability to hack, it's going to give them access to control what's going on in your home and to extract the information of what's going on in your home, so that eventually that's, you know, everything basically you do in your house, when you turn on a light, what time you wake up, if there's people home or not, what you're watching on television, what the foods that are in your fridge, if there's a window open at the same time as your heater's on, you know, we're talking about like carbon fees for things like that, making it a crime to do these, you know, really inconsequential things in the name of, quote, saving the environment. So it is a massive case of greenwashing, one could say, that is not actually doing what the intended purpose is. It's not saving energy. In fact, smart meters and grids are using more energy because it's the creation of a new network on top of the existing networks that are already there. They could be using power line carrier technology. They could be using different technologies. So this is something that it's not doing what it's designed to do. It's invading your privacy. It's extracting information, and eventually they would have full control of what's going on in your home. And not only that, of course, there's massive issues to do with the health, with all of the smart meters radiating microwave energy constantly, and the dirty electricity component as well, which is the high frequency on the house lines, the 60 hertz lines in your home. So that's kind of an overview in a nutshell of the major concerns about the smart meter and the smart grid.
Okay. Thelma, didn't we find out that it's a possibility down the road that these smart meters could be communicating information to law enforcement and possibly tracking potential suspects for crimes, or using that information that's collected from the smart meter to determine whether or not the criminal or the alleged criminal was at home or not at home at the time of a potential crime? Wow.
Yep. And also they're looking at excess energy being used within any home, and they're looking for that information, and they've already discovered, like, people that are growing marijuana inside their home, and they've raided their homes, and, you know, they're looking for any kind of out-of-the-ordinary power usage across the nation, they're watching this, and eventually it's going to be able to be used in court against you.
So if you are someone who's maybe never heard of the smart meter before tonight, and you want to get involved with a movement where they're working to maybe get smart meters taken off of our homes, because are they not on most homes by now? Josh, are they not on most homes and businesses by now?
It depends. I mean, it depends on what state and what region you live in. In my province of British Columbia, they're about 90% installed. There's, for example, 100,000 people in British Columbia have said no. They've blocked their meter. They've written the utility and said, no, we're not having this. So British Columbia is fairly awake. California is mostly installed. Well, places like Ohio, for example, they're just doing a test installations of pilot programs where only 5,000 meters are installed in Ohio, from what I understand. So it depends on what state, depends on what region, it depends on how quickly your utility has got on board to this agenda. And what we're finding is that many utilities, most utilities are doing this so quickly and without public consent so that they can get the stimulus money, the $11 billion of your taxpayer money that came from the 2008 stimulus package for the smart grid.
Wow. Thelma, how widespread is it in Texas? Texas,
you're just about at 90% installation. So they've pretty much rolled them out everywhere in Texas. There's a few communities that actually that have actually banned the installation in their, I believe it was county or town, but for the most part, you're at 90% rollout in the areas in Texas.
In Texas, are we at a situation right now where we cannot opt out, from what I'm understanding?
Yes, we're still in that scenario. I got notice today that apparently there is going to be a Senate hearing on it. I believe it's April 9th. I'm going to double-check on that while I'm on the air tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But so we need people to show up and give testimony. But they still are looking at charging us for an opt-out, and it's ridiculous fees. And quite honestly, why should you have to pay to opt out of something in America? It's as bad as Obamacare. It's like it's an invasion of our rights, and it just isn't right, you know, and the law really doesn't call for it. That's all open to interpretation, but our appeal, DVKID and petitioners, that appeal is in the process now. It's in the courts. Our brief is due, I believe it's April 8th or 9th, and then the PUC has a month to respond, so that'll be in May, but the hearing is set for June 25th as it stands right now.
So I understand that some of the opt-out fees may be as much as like $30 a month added to your bill to opt out if you want to keep your old analog meter as opposed to having this new smart meter on your house. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. So that could be, I guess it's a matter of principle. They're going to say, you know, so if you really want it this bad, then you pay the extra $30. But so there's no other way around it. Either you do, well, actually, I don't even know if that's even available in my area. So that may not even be widespread across Texas either, right?
It isn't yet. The PUC is, as I think you know, Carrie, there were two project numbers that were opened up. Now there's a third. The third is 41111, and that project number is to have rulemaking meetings and hearings on the opt-out. But here's the problem. They're going to the lobbyists and the power companies to write that opt-out. And from what I can gather so far, it looks like there will be an initial fee of something like $300, and then they're looking at a minimum of $25 a month to opt out. So my question is, how does this benefit the low-income people in this state? It doesn't.
doesn't. And then speaking of low-income people, a lot of times, you know, people may not be able to, especially in winter months or in the, you know, height of summer, may not be able to pay their entire utility bill because, you know, they just can't afford it because the bill is higher than it typically is. That said, I understand with the smart meter, Josh, they can just shut you off from the company and never have to come to your property.
This is extortion, Carrie. It truly is. I mean, when you're mandating a device to forcibly install it on people's homes without their consent, this device has never been UL tested. It's never been UL approved. We don't know of a single country in which these devices are actually tested and approved. So there's homes that are catching on fire. They're not covered by insurance. The damage is not covered by insurance companies in most cases. And the utility is not taking blame when all the damage gets done by appliances shorting out or by fires starting. So there's so many people. If you go onto emfsafetynetwork.org, and if on the right-hand side, there's the top link under featured links is health complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And there are literally probably, I don't know, over 1,000 health people have written into that website. That's one website. This is a situation, it's coming to a crisis point, Carrie. There's no other way. We can't ignore this anymore. So that we're being irradiated and fried. We're being spied upon. And the people are simply being used as fodder for corporate interests at this point. And it would only get worse unless and until people say no, because the utilities are taking advantage of a legal mechanism called implied consent. And what that means is if you didn't say no, you just said yes. So they're taking advantage of the passivity and people's sort of being complicit with and just being distracted in life, being too busy or not knowing enough about this issue. So that's why it's so important. If you know about this issue, you owe it to your family and your friends and community to tell people about it and tell them about our film, because our film is going to be available to everyone. It's going to blow the cover on this whole thing worldwide.
Well, one thing we do know is in a lot of situations when the smart meter first got put on, no one walked up to your door and just said, in a lot of cases, we're about to do this. They said
right.
They gave out information door to door, but I know that was not the case. And so that said, a lot of people were kind of taken by surprise when the meter was put on. Some of them were even not even aware that it had been changed out because no one told them. They just walked up to your property, changed out the meter, and they were gone in just a
That's
matter
right.
of minutes.
And nobody knows. I mean, sometimes there's a little thing on the door handle that says you've now just been upgraded to a smart meter. I mean, people don't know that their meters are getting stalled, and then they're getting headaches, and then they're getting, you know, wondering why they can't sleep at night, wondering why, you know, they have a rash or feel nauseous or whatever these various symptoms are that many, many people are having. And, Carrie, this isn't just affecting 3% of people. This is affecting many, many more people, because what the utilities have been saying is that the meters are only on for 45 or 60 seconds a day. But what they haven't been telling people is that spread out over the 24-hour period. So every 6 to 10 seconds is what the court order documentation for PG&E said. Every 6 to 10 seconds, there's a microburst of about 4.5 milliseconds in duration of a very high-intensity microwave burst. So this is at levels which have been far above the levels at which symptoms have been observed. And this isn't happening for like 45 seconds of the day. It's happening 24/7, every few seconds. And people are realizing, wait a minute, my symptoms started when this meter was installed. What's going on here? So this is part of the wake-up that's happening.
Let's talk about some of these symptoms. I understand there's things like mood swings, problems with concentration, confusion, poor performance, heart palpitations, family conflict. All of this is associated, and rashes, like you said, couldn't sleep or can't sleep. All these are associated with the installation of smart meters.
Yeah, that's right. And so all of these have also been noted for decades to be associated with low-level chronic microwave radiation. So, for example, in 1972, there was the U.S. Navy published a study. It was actually a summary of 20, I believe it was over 2,000 studies at the time that, that all together painted a picture of, I believe it was five pages single-spaced of health symptoms from microwave radiation. So these are the very same health symptoms that people are having now with the proliferation of wireless everything, and especially the smart meter, which is up to 50 times to 100 times more damaging to the full body health than an active cell phone, depending on your proximity to the meter.
And the utility companies are telling us that they're no more harmful than an average cell phone. Is that not correct? In a lot of cases, that's what they're saying.
Well, that's the propaganda, right? So what they're doing is they're saying, okay, well, we're going to average the output of the meter rather than look at how high the bursts are. So they're going to average it over time, you see, because the meter is only, it bursts for 4.5 milliseconds every 6 or 10 seconds. So they're going to bring that number down by many, many hundreds, if not thousands of times. And they're going to go by that, and they're going to assume that nobody's in the room next to the meter, that you're all on the other side of the house and so forth. And they're going to further skew the science by saying that it's FCC safe, it's within Federal Communication Commission guidelines. And those guidelines are completely not even based on the 6,000-plus studies which have now shown conclusively that there's damage happening from low-level microwave radiation. So we're in a situation where corporations have taken over the science, they've taken over the utilities, they've taken over government, and they're just doing this because they think that they can get away with it.
And I understand, per one of the videos that I watched, that they're actually trying to eventually get this to watching your usage patterns. That's what they want to know, is everything is about when you're doing what you're doing, and eventually they're going to be charging us based on that? Your time of use
patterns? Time of use billing, yeah, that's inherent in the smart grid plan, and so basically they're going to up your rates for, you know, say you get home after work and you want to have a, actually do the crazy thing and use your stove and have a meal at dinner time. So you're going to be paying, you know, two or three times more for the energy that you use during peak times, and it's going to, what that's going to do is then require people to sort of try to fit in with the overall stated agenda of reducing load and reducing energy use, and you know, in order to be able to pay our bills, we're going to have to do laundry in the middle of the night. I mean, this is absurd. This is in the name of saving 4% of energy over the next 18 years. If you go on Wikipedia and you look on the Obama administration energy policy, just type in Obama administration energy policy, they say we're going to invest tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars in the so-called smart grid to save 4% in energy over the next 18 years. What makes it so insidious is that other countries and other parts of the world, like Germany, for example, and Asia, parts of Asia, other parts of Europe, they're actually adding essentially free energy, solar energy, even some wind and geothermal, but mostly solar. They're adding energy into the grid and removing this false idea of scarcity, which has been foisted upon the people. So excuse me if I'm getting a little excited right now, but when you understand how all this connects, they've actually been suppressing the technologies which would remove the energy crisis completely. Germany has gone the other way, and they've said that about 15 years ago there was a statesman named Hermann Scheer who single-handedly, he made it his mission to make solar really proliferated and have solar just all over the country. And now, because of that forethinking, they were able to shut down nuclear reactors immediately following Fukushima 2 years ago, and then also say that we're going to shut down all nuclear reactors in the country by 2022. The only way that they could do that is because they're building a surplus of energy. There's no such thing as an energy crisis. What there is a crisis of stupidity in government and corporations.
Wow. One of our utility companies here in Texas has been running an ad. I don't know if they closed the ad now, but it ran for quite a while, and it said that they were willing to give you a set a price in terms of, I think that the deal was that your nights were free, that they would charge you for your day usage, but they would give you nights, your utilities at night for free, which to me all but indicated, we know you're not using that many utilities at night, so we'll give you those for free. And a lot of people were signing on to that thinking, well, wow, that's a really good deal. But in my opinion, that was nothing but tracking your usage.
You know what that is? It's a great way to get a Trojan horse installed in your home. That's what it is. Because once this thing is in your home, you know, unless you demand it to be removed, which you can do, you need to start understanding your rights. Use the word demand. Do not use the word ask. Use the word claim. I claim this to be the truth, and I demand this to be removed from my home. And you don't need a lawyer to do this. And, you know, people need to start to understand their rights and how powerful they can be when they stand in truth and they stand to go all in and they stand against this corporate monstrosity, this bullying that's going rampant across most of Western civilization. So you can actually demand it to have that thing removed, and the more people that do that, even in places where there's no official opt-out, okay, we've been conditioned to think that we have to play by these so-called, you know, corporate rules that corporations and utilities set. But once we start understanding the power of who we are as men and women, and not as persons or corporations, we can use that demanding process and we can create some serious change. And the more people get on this and start acting without fear, because this thing is about fear. They put us in so much fear where we're just complicit to their agendas, and so people are getting tired of it. That's what we're
but
seeing worldwide.
But they know
worldwide.
That the masses are not fighting back, because didn't two women get arrested in Illinois for demanding that they not put the smart meter on their home?
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that the next day in the paper, in the Chicago Tribune, instead of having an expose on how ridiculous it was that the city is in cahoots with the police force and doing these arrests in front of media to get media attention, and instead of exposing the ridiculousness of the corporate agenda, they lead, the media leads with mugshots of the two mothers, the two stay-at-home mothers that got arrested. I mean, how far gone is the media to be complicit in this fear campaign? So we're going to create the idea where if people say no to an oppressive corporate system, that they're going to suffer ramifications like getting arrested. I mean, that's just part of the greater agenda that's being used. The media is completely irresponsible in that case. And that's, of course, the imagery that then goes across the country. The reality of it is there's millions of people worldwide that are saying no to these meters. I mean, look at Australia, and look at the UK is waking up, and 100,000 people in BC alone. In California, there's over 50 local governments that have actually passed a moratorium to outlaw the installation of so-called smart meters. And something that people don't know is that, again, going back to the media, how it's so controlled, we don't even know here that in the middle of February, the country, an entire nation of Bulgaria had a revolution. The entire parliament stepped down. The prime minister and all his main cabinet ministers stepped down because of the massive riots of not riots so much, but people in the streets demonstrating the corruption of the utility companies. These protests started in the same city where these so-called smart meters were first installed. Then you have a few weeks later, there's 600,000 people in the streets saying, just calling out the corruption. We're not going to take this anymore. So there you have Bulgaria is the first country that has had a nationwide revolution over this smart grid agenda.
You know, I really don't think the masses in the U.S. are even aware of the smart agenda issue. I really don't. Most people, I don't think, are even aware. I mean, because I've talked to people, and when I'll bring up the issue of the smart meter, they are not, in a lot of cases, even aware the new one has been put on their homes, or if they are aware, they don't seem to think that there's any issue with it. So
yeah,
I think it's an
so
issue
it's
that...
It's all about awareness. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just was agreeing with you. It's all about awareness. Absolutely.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And why is it that you think that the masses have not connected with this issue?
Well, we've been so conditioned. You know, if you just look at a neuro-linguistic programming level, which is essentially how words can embed ideas in mind and how we attach ideas within our own minds. Just the use of the word smart, for decades it's kind of been built up as, you know, smartphone, smart car, smart city, smart grid, smart. So it's this idea that smart means progress, right? So like we actually interviewed in the film a former Silicon Valley consultant, and he was very high level in Silicon Valley. He's talking about this kind of agenda was being planned in the early 80s when he was there. It's how are we going to get access into the home? How are we going to control everything? And so he talks about, it's very obvious that, you know, some smart ad man got paid $300,000 or whatever it is to come up with the word smart meter so that people would feel less intelligent if they questioned the smart people putting it on their house. I mean, we got to start looking at how ideas, how we're being programmed by newspapers and by mainstream television, and everything we see is just being part of this like matrix to further and further dumb people down and to get them to stop thinking for themselves or just you know, change meanings of words and things like this. So what the real solution of this whole awareness and waking up is really getting back to asking the question, who am I? You know, what am I doing in my life? Am I awake? Am I connected to my soul? Is my God the authority structure on this planet? Or is there another God, an actual spiritual God, that a higher order to things even, that I put my faith and trust in and I seek to obey? You know, whatever that is for you. You know, even in the Bible, it asks the question: Is your God money? Is your God Mammon, the ways of the world, or is your God the true God? Whatever that means to you, and whatever label and religion you are, it really comes down to that. That's the level of wakefulness that we need in order to really start changing the way that things are going on this planet. There was an actor on YouTube. There was a nice little video by an actor from that TV show called The Office, and a guy named Rainn Wilson is his name. And listeners can go to YouTube and check out Rainn Wilson Spiritual Revolution. And he talks about this. He says, really, the only way that things are really going to change on the planet is if we have some kind of a spiritual revolution, whatever that looks like, whatever the label is, you know, like a waking up from the heart. You know, from that connection of who we really are. And once we're on that path, going in that direction, once we actually decide that we're not going to just check out and let corporations take your soul over, I mean, then once we make that decision for life, then stuff can start changing on this planet.
When do you all anticipate the documentary will be completed?
Well, right now we need $81,000 to finish it up. And
okay.
We did a hard look at the numbers. We have to license third-party clips, like from TV or from television news shows and other third-party sources. I have to pay my post-production crew. There's other costs that go along with marketing and distribution and release and the production of the DVDs and so forth, and having all this properly done so that we can release it and get the word out there. So we are asking for donations. We feel that this is a truth that needs to be spoken at this time. Angel donors as well as investment investors, and there's a very lucrative, even we feel that the project's going to be successful financially, and so there's a very promising business plan that we put together recently. But the bottom line is, if you're out there, you're listening to this, you feel that, yes, something needs to be done, get in touch with us and help us complete this project, because, you know, I know I'm all in, my team, my post-production guys, Selma, and key supporters on the project and the community in which I live. we know kind of the agenda. We know what's going on. We know how critical it is to come together and stand at this time. So I humbly ask that that if you're out there and you're wondering what's a good cause that can really make a difference, help us get this film out. And you can do so by visiting our website or contacting Thelma. And we're doing some screenings in Texas and so forth, and really just going to get the word out in a big way.
Tell them how to get to your website.
Website is www.takebackyourpower.net. So takebackyourpower.net. And on the right-hand side, there's a contribution button. And if you would like to get in contact with us to talk about investment or other ideas, please click the contact page, and then you can do so that way.
Okay. So you're looking for $81,000, and then you all can get this documentary completed.
Yeah, and I wish it wasn't that much, but we wanted to go out there professional and in a big way. And what can I say? Things in life cost money, my editor and composer don't work for wooden nickels.
Great. And I saw the documentary on YouTube, which they can go to YouTube and see it, right? The trailer is on YouTube.
Yeah.
Somewhere it is on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube. Actually, from the main page, takebackyourpower.net, you'll see the trailer there as well. It's 3.5 minutes long. That's what we heard at the start of the show. And also, we've released about 8 or so other videos along the way of making this film, including a brilliant 44-minute video, and I say brilliant because of Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, who's an amazing doctor and thinker, and he bridges worlds, essentially, traditional medicine into complementary medicine. So there's a 44-minute interview that we've put online. He's actually in the film, but we felt it so key to get that information about how critical this is for health, that you can go to our website, click on our videos, our films and videos, and you'll see Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt video there.
Okay. Well, y'all, Josh only promised us the first 30 minutes, so we appreciate him stopping by tonight, telling us about his new documentary titled Take Back Your Power, The Smart Meter Agenda Unveiled. Josh, thank you so much for coming by tonight, and we wish you the best of luck with your documentary.
Thank you, Carrie, so much. And thank you, listeners, for your courage of stepping into this issue. I applaud your efforts. And Thelma, you're doing such a wonderful job there in Texas. So y'all in Texas, if you're in Texas and listening, get in touch with Thelma and ask her what you can do to support the movement. Doing some great stuff down there. So thank you, Carrie, for your time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight for the topic, Smart Meters, Unsafe, Untested, Unapproved. We're talking to Thelma Tormita with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. And the voice you last heard was Josh Del So. He's with the website takebackyourpower.net, and they're working on a documentary titled Take Back Your Power, The Smart Meter. The Smart Meter Agenda Unveil. I quit, y'all. That's what it's called. Also, reminding y'all, the chat room is down tonight. So if you'd like to speak with Thelma about Smart Meters Agenda 21, she's going to be available. Dial in at 347-850-8390, then press 1. Thelma, how are you this evening?
Carrie, I'm great. Isn't he wonderful?
It's wonderful. And listen, I've seen the trailer, and I tell everyone they should go check it out, too. It's looking really, really good. So
yeah.
I hope he does get that other $81,000 to get that project finished, because it does look like it's going to be a doozy. It really does.
But we're trying to help him. The advanced screenings are going to take place sometime in April. We're trying to firm up the dates and the venues here in Texas.
Okay.
And so Texas is going to be one of the first states to be able to have these advanced screenings. And we're going to use the advanced screenings for fundraisers to complete and get this film out, because it will go worldwide, and that's what we need.
Absolutely. You know, he covered a lot in the few minutes that he was here, but we're going to go back and recap some of the things that he said, because we took people kind of fast for those who may not be familiar with exactly what's going on with this smart meter thing. Let's go back to the issue that he brought up on fires. If you are a homeowner like myself, or if you live somewhere, in an apartment complex or whatever, if that smart meter catches on fire, what are we understanding is going to happen? Who's liable? You know, who's going to pay off your house once it burns down or whatever happens? Who's going to fix the repairs for that? Who's responsible?
You are at this point. Everyone's knowledge of the insurance industry when it comes to these smart meters, if a fire starts at the box of the smart meter, where the smart meter is mounted, the insurance companies are not covering it. The power companies or the transmission and distribution companies will not admit liability for it. They're claiming that they don't. But however, there's been a lot of meltdowns and a lot of fires started right at that junction. And so what they're trying to say is that it's the homeowner's fault because the homeowner's box wasn't up to code. But yet and all, they didn't have any problem when the analog meter was on there or another digital meter that may, you know, that they may have had the digital meters where they could read them from the streets, the meter readers. But at this point, to the best of our knowledge, we have not found an insurance company that will cover a home started where a fire started in or around the smart meter.
That's crazy. So how is it that they will install a box on a house that, let's just say, is faulty, but has faulty wiring? Why would then the utility company install their box without checking to see if your wiring and everything is up to code? So it seems like they would have to have some responsibility in that.
Well, you would think, wouldn't you? But in actuality, this is the way it works. When a home is built, an electrical box is installed. Mm-hmm. The new homes, there's a box that they have to have that's been now approved and all of that by the transmission and distribution companies. And it must be a box that is ready to take a smart meter. Now, the older boxes where they have just gone around to existing homes, those are the boxes. And what happens a lot of times is the connection between the smart meter and the plug-in unit where they plug the actual meter in, that connection is where the sparks and the fires are taking place. For some reason, they are not mounted right. But you also still have old construction that once a home is built, depending on the year of it, will dictate what type of amenities that house was built with. And a lot of your older construction still has aluminum wiring in the homes. Mm. Aluminum wiring gets a lot hotter than copper wiring, which is why back in the 70s they changed the building codes so that it was only copper wiring that went into the newer homes. But a lot of the homes that are older than, I believe it was 1976, when it finally got into full implementation in the building codes for it to be copper wire, a lot of your older homes still have aluminum wiring. Now, as they've gotten resold and people redo the homes, a lot of them have been redone, but there's still a lot of them that haven't. So my argument when it comes to the opt-out fees being charged, you know, the low-income property owners, and, you know, there are a lot of, obviously, we know, the poor, as far as statistically-wise, supposedly it has risen to record numbers. So low-income or, let's say, unemployed individuals, the people without the cash ready to be able to change anything, to be able to pay an initial opt-out fee and then pay a monthly fee, as far as I'm concerned, they are putting those people in jeopardy. I'm sure now that, if anybody's listening, they'll think about that as they're creating their rules. But where is the justification and the equalness where they charge someone that's affluent with a fee, but yet and all, they subsidize low income? Why is this happening, and why should it happen when we were okay to begin with? You know? So, I mean, there's a lot involved here, and they are not doing this for the benefit of the consumers, and everyone who believes that they are, they aren't. They are doing this for the benefit of the transmission and distribution companies. They are doing this for the benefit of the power generating companies. And they are doing this for the benefit of the government. It has nothing to do with us as individuals. There is nothing about these meters that is good when it comes to the individual and the homeowners and the apartment dwellers. And I would say the apartment and condominium dwellers are probably worse off than the individual home dwellers. Somebody lives by that bank of meters, and they are finding more and more medical individuals who are coming out stating that, yes, these meters are causing problems.
Wow. You know, aren't there some links between the smart meter and cancer?
I'm not a medical expert, so I can't really say, Carrie, but I do know one thing that has been established. There are problems with the smart meters with individuals who have heart conditions and individuals who have pacemakers, those types of things. So there are those problems. I mean, there are health risks out there. So do we? Do they suffer for the benefit of society, or does society care about the individual anymore? It's getting to the point in this country where it isn't the individual anymore. It's the community. And
didn't one of the persons on that documentary's trailer say that their pacemaker stopped once the smart meter was installed?
You know, Carrie, I don't know. I'd have to go back and actually watch the trailer. I've been so busy trying to get these screenings up for the last couple of weeks that I really haven't even had a chance to watch the trailer that's out there.
I think I viewed it several times, y'all. The guy says clearly in the trailer that his heart, his pacemaker stopped working once they installed the smart meter. That's pretty scary stuff. I mean, because, you know, when you think about it, if they're not giving you an option to opt out and you got to have some place to live and they're putting them on every apartment building and every business and every home in our country, then actually it's going to be global. It's not just our country. It's going to be global. So what do you do? You know, what do you really do in a situation like that? It's a good question. For somebody who has not ever, ever, ever heard of smart meters and wants more information on smart meters, there are several websites that can educate you really fast. There's one called BanTexasSmartMeters.com. That's BanTexasSmartMeters.com. There's also Resist21.com. That's R-E-S-I-S-T.com. There's FreedomAdvocates.com. SmartMeterBlocker.com. There's also SmartMeterSafety.org, RefuseSmartMeters.com, and also the one that Josh is with, TakeBackYourPower.net. All those are good sources of information, and we'll repeat this toward the end of the show. But all these are good sources for someone who is looking for some information on smart meters to better educate and your family on what you need to look for, what you can do, what your options are. Those are excellent sources for information. But Thelma, you know, when we did shows, Thelma has been on two shows that we've done before. On 9/16/11 and 9/2/11, we covered smart meters. And we had a lot of information that poured out on those shows. But Thelma, since that time, nothing has really progressed in terms of making the situation better for people, or people moving any closer to getting these things really removed, have they?
Well, it has and it hasn't. A couple of things have come from this. There's in Texas, there's two different avenues that different groups have taken. DVKid and the petitioners that signed onto her petition back in February of 2012, and then again in May of 2012. That is now in the appeal process in the courts. And that is to have a court determine whether or not the PUC has to grant us a public hearing, because a public hearing is different than just a public forum where they listen to a bunch of consumer complaints but aren't formally addressed by an administrative judge to tell them, look, you need to do this, this, and this. And so a public hearing would give us actual testimony, and it would carry legal weight, and then there'd be a judge involved. What they've given us is forums, but there is another flip side that has been working with the legislature. There are two bills in there currently that I'm aware of. One is an opt-out without any fees, and then there is another one that's an opt-out where they're working on it, but that would include fees. The Senate hearing that's coming up is going to be on April 9th, and I believe it begins at 8:30 in the morning. So it could be a long process that day, but it's an important one. Anyone who is concerned about these smart meters need to be there. I do know that there was an informational meeting that was held for legislators who wanted to become informed about the smart meters. What I had been told was that about 80 legislators showed up for that informational event that was put on for them. Exactly what came out of that, I'm not 100% positive because I've just had crazy things going on in my life, and so I couldn't attend that day. So there is movement. What has happened, though, is it seems to have quieted down in the media.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are under the misconception that the fight has quieted down. The
mm-hmm.
fight hasn't quieted down. It's just moved into the realm where we're actually following procedures to try to get this changed.
And I reached out to several websites that I mentioned earlier and asked them if you guys have updates, you know, about anything that's going on in the world of smart meters to call in tonight, give us an update, because I think that's the only way we're going to win this fight is to pass information along. And if the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, we're defeating ourselves in trying to defeat smart meters. That's just my opinion, y'all, but that's what I asked for tonight. If y'all are on the phone lines, and I see quite a few of y'all are, if you want to tell me what's going on with what you're doing with smart meters, please just press 1, let us know. What's going on in your area? Are you all petitioning? Are you all having any successes with your fight? We just kind of want to know tonight because I know Thelma's been in the fight a really long time. Some of the other people that I know here in the Texas area have been fighting this issue for a long time. And like you said, Thelma, it's kind of gotten quiet where, you know, it's not in the media as much. And a lot of us know that out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, and you know, I really think that it's a combination of the transmission and distribution companies quieting it down, because the worst thing that happened for them was the publicity that all of the activists in Texas created last year just prior to fall. And so all of this activity was happening just prior to the new legislative session. And so they really started to quiet it down and take it out of the media spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But my other concern, just so that people who are listening maybe can look this up, because there's a lot of information out there, there are federal commissions that have been created where Donna Nelson, the chairman of our PUC here in Texas, gave her report to the legislature. It was either 2010 or 2011, where she made the statement that never these meters weren't mandated, and the federal government didn't mandate them, and neither did the state. So they were not mandated by a government entity. And I don't think it ever will be, but I think they're doing an end run around us with a couple of different commissions. One of them is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So mm-hmm. it's F as in Frank, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, C as in Charles. And if you put those initials into your search engine and look it up, you'll see what they've been up to. There's also another one that's called, it's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Okay. So FERC, FERC. There's also another one that's NERC, which starts with an N. And then you also have the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissions. And this, I would say, is probably commissioners from various states. There is a collaborative out there about the smart grid. But my concern with FERC is that they have been given the authority to create state federal boards to study the electric reliability of the grid. Now, if they come into a state and they decide that your grid isn't reliable enough, these people have the authority to mandate changes, which means they could very well do an end run around us and mandate the meters. And it wouldn't be the government doing it. It would be this commission that they have created that would be doing it, which takes the pressure off the government itself. It's no different than the regional boards that they have set up where no one is elected to that board. They sit on it. They may be elected officials from various cities, towns, counties, but they're not elected to that board. So it's a non-elected board that does not answer to the people, and they are given this authority to mandate all of these changes in our lives, and we have no say about it because they're not elected.
I mean, you know, it just seems like really from the battle that I saw when I personally had a situation with the smart meter, and I told this on the other two shows, and I'll say it very quickly on this one. I personally knew about the smart meter because Feldman had brought it to my attention about 30 days before they actually installed one on my home. It was crazy because I was just so thinking, well, they're not coming to my house, but they did, y'all. And I tried to say, hey, listen, I don't want that thing, but they pretty much told me I didn't have a choice in the matter, so I had to allow it. And so I did, and at that particular month, it was starting to get hot. My utility bill was at that time $100, a little over $100, let's just say that. The very next month, my bill jumped to a little over $300 the very next month. Not really any difference in the usage pattern at all, but it really went from $100 and something to $300 and something. And then the following month, it then went to $500 and something. Well, I didn't scream at the $300 mark because, like I said, it was getting hot, and I really didn't think, like, wow, this is like what people have said, that they're doubling your bill. But they did not. They didn't just double it the first month. Then they, I guess you could say, almost doubled it the second month. And that's when I began to complain. And I got the runaround some terrible. I really did. I went back and forth between the transmission and distribution company and my utility company, and one was blaming the other until finally I said to them, listen, I will do a show on this every week until somebody listens to me. And, you know, eventually things did change for me. But it was after a whole bunch of phone calling, a whole bunch of screaming, and that's when I realized that this smart meter is not nearly as smart as they're telling us it is. Because, you know, the first month when it went to $300, I immediately start turning off lights. I'm talking, you know, really just watching how I was using my utilities. I turned the air up to 80, you know, the thermostat up to 80 in the middle of summer. I was trying to do everything I possibly could. And that's when I realized there was a problem with these smart meters. And so as far as, you know, Thelma, when they're telling us that these things are more efficient, they are not. And a lot of people were caught up in the same situation that I was. Their bills went up drastically. Did you not hear that, how many people were complaining of the bills doubling and tripling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people, for whatever reason, their bills did go down, and so they figure that the smart meter did it. And some people treat this entire thing like a game.
Yeah.
It's almost like technology is mesmerizing people. They really think that by being able to go in to your computer and see how much power you're using, that somehow that's going to save you money. Well, seriously, if you don't know you have lights on, and if you don't know you're using your washer or dryer, or that your refrigerator is on, then you have a serious problem.
Yeah, that's true. So, but you know what, Thelma, remember one of the shows we did and the lady told us that what we needed to do was, like, air dry our clothes?
Yeah.
You know, and I even listened to her when she said, turn the thermostat up to 80. I almost died, you know, in my house in the middle of summer with the thermostat up to 80. But they had all of these ridiculous ways in which they told us that we could save, you know, on our energy bill. Well, in reality, the thing is, the way that you save on your utility bill is by determining how much you're paying per kilowatt, first of all, because a lot of companies are charging you a whole lot more than others. So I think there's a website called powertochoose.org in which you can go on there and see what each company is charging and then go to the right company and get a decent amount to be charged per kilowatt. That's one way. Another way is to be smart. Unplug your utilities when you're not using them. You know, and those type things, I can get that. It may be washing in the evening time. I can even go with that as opposed to in the height of the day. But at the same time, besides that, I'm not really willing to do much else. I don't want a smart meter on my house to determine, like you said, Thelma, when I turn the light switch on.
Well, the truth of the matter is, Carrie, when it comes right down to it, and Josh referred to this, it isn't saving as much energy as they say it is, and it's not saving the planet. And if the true environmentalists would really look into how damaging these are to the environment in comparison to how little they actually save us, they would be outraged.
Yeah.
These are the people who need to know the damage that is happening from the radiation that's being put off and the frequencies that are being put off. I mean, plant life is dying and wildlife is being pretty much, they're just mutating and their babies are just being born deformed. And if the environmentalists really care about the wildlife, they really need to get on board with getting rid of these meters, because it isn't saving any money. Their ultimate goal is to share power worldwide, and it will be your elite who decides who gets power and who doesn't. They're already doing that. Where is this fair to low-income families if they charge to opt out of these meters?
You know,
that's what outrages me.
You know, speaking of low income, I heard stories where little elderly ladies who basically pretty much, you know how a lot of times elderly people pretty much just live in one or two rooms in the house. They use the kitchen, they use the bathroom, and they may use their bedroom or living room to watch TV all day, but pretty much that's it. And one lady explained to me that an elderly lady that she knew was basically confined to one or two rooms a day. That's all she was really using in her house. Everything was shut off, and this lady was experiencing $300 and $400 bills a month in a little small house, and she was really pretty much only utilizing one or two rooms.
And it's,
you know,
very
it's
very well possible that couple things. The home could have been older and probably wasn't real energy efficient, but that's another angle of this, because they are going to, and there are parts of this in Obamacare, they are going to start inspecting homes to make sure your home is as energy efficient as they dictate it needs to be. They really are. And there already have been people who have lost their homes to inspections such as this. So this really isn't crazy. It's all online. You can see it. If you go and you just connect the dots, it is very concerning what it is that these people are up to.
So basically, the New World Order and Agenda 21 in full effect.
Yes. Here's the other part, and this has been a very hot topic, and it's finally been exposed. And I got to tell you, Ginger Russell, she was a bulldog on the education system. First started out on C-Scope in Texas, but now it's exploded into letting people know about Common Core and Race to the Top. And a big part of that education process that they have now implemented in our schools and have been teaching our kids for longer than we ever realized is this energy stuff, where they are trying to convince these kids that the United States of America can save the world, when in actuality the carbon footprint of each person is not doing as much damage. They are spraying chemicals to try to make it rain. You tell me who's doing more damage, little old us out here living our lives, or the governments that are trying to mess with Mother Nature?
I agree. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight for the topic, smart meters, unsafe, untested, unapproved. We're talking to Thelma Tormina with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. And earlier with us was Josh Del Sol. He's with the website TakeBackYourPower.net. They have a new documentary that's soon to come out titled Take Back Your Power, The Smart Meter. The Smart Meter Agenda Unveil. I don't know why I'm struggling with that tonight, y'all, but I am. A reminder, the chat room is closed tonight. So if you have a question or a comment about the Smart Meter, give us a call at 347-850-8390, then press 1. As I said, a reminder, y'all, the chat room is closed. So if you have a question or a comment, call in at 347-850-8390, then press 1. Thelma, you're a pet lover. You also talk about your dog. How has the Smart Meters affected the dog? I mean, are there any changes that you've noted since they put one on your house?
Well, I don't have one, Carrie. I still don't have one, remember?
Okay. Listen, that's another story all within itself if Selma chooses to tell us about it tonight. Selma, how is it that you still don't have a smart meter on your house?
Well, it's I am really tired of telling the story because it matters in the long run, but the main thing is people need to understand that no one's going to step in and insist upon these smart meters either being removed from your property or stopping them from putting one on your property. You, as an individual, must take the stand, and that's what I did and got into a little bit of a mess over it, but I still don't have a meter.
Okay, Thelma's not talking tonight, y'all, but maybe one day in the future she'll tell us that story. Now, listen, y'all, they have switched some things around on Blog Talk tonight. Normally what looks like a hand raise is not looking like a hand raise. It's looking like a question mark. So I'm sorry for those of you that's been holding. I see the question marks now and just realized that must be what that is. I'm going to go to area code 281799. Good evening. You're on center stage. As soon as it finishes letting you in there, area code 281. Oh, my God, we lost you. I apologize. Call back in. 817-673, good evening. You're on center stage.
Hey, how's it going, y'all? Good show so far. I like it. I'm trying to find somebody that maybe can come out to one of my this event that I got coming up, not tomorrow but next Saturday, to talk about these smart meters.
Okay.
I have a huge event coming up. It's called Standing Together for Liberty. And Jeannie McGregor is going to be talking about C-Scope. David Simpson is going to be talking about the Constitution. Kathy Glass is going to be talking about nullification. And this is a big event here in Texas. So if you're in the DFW area, I'd come check it out. April 6th, it's going to be at Quick Trip Park in Grand Prairie, Texas. We have 14-plus speakers. And we're trying to give knowledge to people about, what's going on. Obviously, you guys are touching base on a bunch of the things that are happening within our government, and we need to educate others as well and get them involved so we can take back, what was ours.
Well, Thelma, you have any ideas as to who could go and speak for them on smart meters in our area?
Well, in actuality, David Simpson is the one that's got the bill in for an opt-out without fees. Here's my problem with any legislators. The problem with the legislature is they are only willing to look at opt-outs. They aren't willing to look at any legislation that would actually move this out of Texas. So much money has already been spent on deploying these meters that I think they really believe it's an impossible task to get them out. But, have you contacted Beth Beazle from Eagle Forum?
No, I haven't. It's Beth Beazle, you say?
Yes, Beth Beazle. She's working on the smart meters also. She's been working with the legislature. I am going to talk to her tomorrow because, like I said, our appeal is it's in the court system, but really it won't get heard till January 25th. But what everybody needs to understand is June 25th, even if they institute an opt-out, it won't take effect until until September of this year.
Agreed. I just feel that the more people that we educate and the more people understand what these things are actually doing, you know, we can educate them so they can get motivated to do something about it, kind of like our gun rights. Everybody's really mad about our gun rights right now. Well, you know, it's because they understand what's going on and a bunch of them are educated on it. Well, we need to get other people educated as well on about these smart meters. And, you know, I've seen stuff online where people have stood in front of their meter and said, no, you're not changing it to a smart meter. And then they get arrested and go to jail and stuff like that. Well, people don't even know about that, you know, and they're not aware of what actually the smart meters are doing.
And they really don't have the right to arrest anyone. One of the things that the average person really, really needs to learn is what their actual property rights are and what jurisdiction that city police have versus sheriffs and whether or not they can actually help the installers of these meters, because they really can't. This is civil law. This isn't criminal law. You're not doing anything criminal when you refuse to have a smart meter. And no police officer can make a determination on civil law without a judge. And so the judge has to issue a court order in order for them to do the installation. And those two women that did get arrested, they actually were let off with no charges because there really are no charges to bring.
Good. But, you know, just the wasted time that they got wasted in their life to being actually taken down there and having to go through that whole ordeal is just kind of mind-boggling, you know, as far as us living here in the United States. It's supposed to be a free country, and we all have, you know, property rights and stuff like that. It's crazy what's going on. So I'd just like to educate the people and seeing if there was a speaker. But are you ladies in the Texas area?
Thelma's in Houston, and I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but if you send me an email, I'll put you in contact with the rest of the people that are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and maybe someone can come out and speak with you about it or speak to your group.
And
send me an email to centerstageradio@yahoo.com.
Okay. It's going to be a huge event. There's 500-600 people coming. If you want to come out and do a live broadcast with your show, you're more than welcome to. You know, we have a bunch of people from Oath Keepers. We have the 912 Fort Worth group coming out. We got Bill Zedler, Frank Kuchar. There's going to be a bunch of people there. Eugene Ralph from Game Changers. Like I said, it's April 6th. It's at the Quick Trip Ballpark in Grand Prairie, Texas. It's a huge venue, and it's free to the public. This is totally free. I'm trying to educate as many people as we can so we can motivate as many people as we can and get them involved.
Wow. I am definitely going to make a note of that. Wow. And that's April 6th at what time?
It's going to be from 12 noon until about 4 or 5 o'clock. We have live music afterwards from a really cool group called the FNAs. They're like a reggae, jazz, R&B group, and they're coming out for me, and they're playing for free. This is a huge event. I mean, I don't want you thinking it's going to be 20 or 30 people, because there's definitely not. You can find the event on Facebook. It's called Standing Together for Liberty, and there's already about 300-400 people that have RSVP'd for it. It's going to be big.
For Liberty. Wonderful. Gotcha. I'm gonna make a mention of this at the end of the show. April 6th from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Quick Trip Game Park?
At the ballpark. It's the minor league ballpark out there by the horse races, you know, where they have the Lone Star Park with the horse races and all that. It's right out there on 30 and Beltline.
Gotcha. No, exactly.
What was your name again?
Corey Watkins.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you, Corey, for calling in tonight.
Hey, blessings. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up area code 817-719. Listen, again, y'all, I am so sorry for having y'all hold so long. We lost that one. The phone lines are moving. 817-719. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hello. This is Cindy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I called in to give, if you like, a little bit of update on some of the stuff that people can do to kind of contact their legislators. And I agree that if we put in, please ban these meters, nothing would make it out of committee. So we are at least working with what they're giving us. And I know that nothing will, if it is passed, will go into effect usually immediately. But there's other things that are being in the works, but those can take a while as well. So we're just taking an approach of chipping it away a little at a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, the best we can. So, but if people want to, I don't have things up there right now exactly for people to go to my website, but probably by the time Monday gets here, I should have something for them to go look at, but I'll make a couple quick points for people. If they have the ability to go to Austin, the committee that's hearing the smart meter legislature legislation, that's the word I'm trying to say. That committee is going to be meeting on Monday, I think it's Monday, April 9th, whatever April 9th is, and they are going to allow people, I believe, to actually, anytime there's a hearing, my understanding is, I've not really done this myself, you can sign up to speak, and I guess they give you a certain amount of time to speak, but so we need people to go and show up and, you know, at the committee that day. It's supposed to be, I think, maybe at 8 in the morning when they start. I don't know if they go through a series of bills until they get to the smart meter bill, but because it's the energy committee, the business committee. John Corona, I know, is the chairman of that one. I will be putting details out, but what they just need to do is see if they can clear their schedules enough to go on April the 9th and put their two cents in about it, because this is where they want to see, you know, they're hearing from the powers that be, utilities, Encore, et cetera, about what they want. And they're going to probably have their, you know, folks sitting there as well. So we want to have some people from our group. Actually, it looks like April 9th is a Tuesday.
Right.
So if I got my days correct. But if anybody just goes to bantexassmartmeters.com, if you find a post, and under any of the posts that are there, there's a section for comments, and under right about that place there, they can sign up to get email alerts from the website whenever anything new gets put on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if there is a big event like this one coming up or a new post that I put, and I usually just mainly put things up about Texas, they'll get the word about it by signing up for emails that come from bantexassmartmeters.com. So. Anyway, so that's what's kind of working, and still phone calls, letters, and I will put out also some bullet points that they can put in their phone calls or their letters to tell them how we would like for them to vote, whether it's for, there's like at least three bills out there right now. Some of them need a little amendments, and we're working on trying to get amendments to them also. And you can encourage, people can encourage their legislators to either support the amendments or support the bills or both. And just, we've got like seven bullet points that's generically what we want them to do. And so that way, whatever the bill is, we would like it to look like this. For example, it says no cost opt-out and retroactive removal. That's one point. We'd like that to be in the bill. Data collection and transmissions. We want no data collected by the transmissions, distribution utilities, which is Encore, CenterPoint, et cetera, or the retail electric providers. That's another thing. So. Then it goes into, you know, a liability assigned to the TDU for personal injury and property damage, including intellectual property. The fourth item was landline delivery for our transmission of our usage. In other words, so we don't have to have some kind of wireless thing on our house if we don't want it. The fifth thing was like to educate the consumers. We're hoping that they'll educate the consumers as to the pros and cons when they offer their opt-out, you know. And there's like six, keep the grid for Texas independent, because right now Texas is in a fortunate position to have its own grid. And then number seven was to amend a certain, this is House Bill 1600, et cetera, not to give the PUC assist and deceive authority over individuals. So all that will be on the website probably by Monday, and they can use those bullet points and contact their state rep and state senator so that we can get them understanding what we're looking for specifically.
Okay, doesn't Ban Texas Smart Meters have a Facebook as well?
Yes, there's a Facebook group called Ban Texas Smart Meters on the Facebook. You can go in and ask to join, and then every time I notice, every few days, I try and look and see who's wanting to join if I haven't noticed before. So if we don't get you right away, don't give up hope. You know, somebody will let you in the group. I usually do at least go look and see who this person is and see if they don't look like somebody that's, you know, that just started a brand new account and they're just, you know, wanting to come in and spam people. So I do kind of look over that. I may even email you and say, may I ask your interest in smart meters? In which case, you know, if you give me a good answer and it sounds reasonable, then I certainly will let you in too. So,
well, thank you, Cindy Carriger, for calling in tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, y'all, that's BanTexasSmartMeters.com, or the website page is BanTexasSmartMeters. Thanks, Cindy.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, area code, we're going back to the phone lines. Area code 713-927. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Good evening, I'm Teresa. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I read a few years ago the entities controlling the smart meters will have the power to shut folks' power off during peak times.
Mm-hmm.
And the folk that they listed in this article were seniors, disabled, unemployed, and inner-city dwellers. And I just found it shocking. But anyway, I also, in some counties in California, are allowed to switch from the smart meters back to the analog, and PG&E picks up the cost. But I keep ahead of what's going on with the smart meters at stopsmartmeters.org. So I just wanted to give out that information. This is an excellent topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thelma, you kind of hit on that a little earlier about how the low income could be, you know, affected by this, and I think they will. I think ultimately, you know, the way things are looking, the poor is not going to be taken care of in this new world order that we're all facing. So, you know, Thelma, do you agree with that, that it's just a time that we're coming into where, you know, being elderly and being poor or whatever, it just doesn't matter anymore?
It is, and it, this isn't to scare anybody or, you know, we certainly don't want to do that, but we want to make sure that people are informed because the part of the reason why they're separating us on issues and trying to create this wedge between different groups in the United States is because they really want to portray individuals as not caring about the other individual, which is really untrue. The way that these PUCs were originally set up, they were supposed to look out for you and me. That's what their job was. And they were supposed to look out for people who were distressed or had low income or lost their jobs. And it still stands in most states that during, well, down here it'd probably be summer months, but up north when it's winter time and it gets so cold that even if you don't have the wherewithal to pay your power bill, they cannot cut you off between certain dates. But then by a certain date, you know, you've got to figure out something because they ultimately do get that authority back to be able to shut you off if you're not paying your bill. But at least when it's dangerous to your health, they can't do so. This is what the PUCs were originally set up to do, to make sure that the electric companies and the electric providers were not taking advantage of the consumers. That's why they oversaw the telephone, the electrical, and they were set up to make sure that those necessities were protected by a commission that was set up in the states. And it has evolved and changed to the point where the PUC now looks out for the industry rather than looking out for the consumer. They have one little department inside the PUC that is there to help consumers, one little department. But it isn't the job of the overall PUC any longer to look out for the consumer.
You know, let's cover the issue with, when we talked about this on our last show. Weren't there situations where, so we don't want to mislead anybody, it can definitely be a fight that you're in for. It's not like you just immediately can just demand that they take the meter off and, you know, everybody, you know, does what you want them to do and then it's all over. In a lot of cases, it can get ugly. Didn't we see a case, Thelma, in which the person told them that they didn't want the smart meter put on their house and the utility company went back and forth with them, and finally the utility company removed the meter completely so the person was left without any utilities?
Yeah, and that wasn't in Texas. If I remember correctly, that one was in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm,
But somebody did step in. You know, I mean, when those kind of stories hit the media, the wonderful people in this country step forward and fight for that individual. That's happened twice.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times it was an elderly woman with medical conditions that mm-hmm. needed breathing apparatus during the night, and they cut her power off, and she was without power over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And people stepped in and insisted that they put it, you know, that they put the power back on. But, you know, this is the fight is an individual fight. But if enough of us are fighting it together, we will win this battle. It's a matter of standing up for your individual rights and connecting with other people so that you know that you're not alone doing it.
Great. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage for the topic smart meters, unsafe, untested, unapproved. We're talking with Thelma Tormina. She's with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. And earlier we spoke with Josh Del Sol. He's with the website Take Back Your Power. They're working on a documentary by the same name, Take Back Your Power, the Smart Meter Agenda Unveil. God, I've struggled with that all night, y'all. I don't know what... Oh, night long, guys. I apologize. A reminder, y'all, the chat room is closed tonight, so if you have a question or a comment you'd like to speak to us about, call in tonight at 347-850-8390 and then press 1. Again, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, call us up at 347-850-8390, then press 1. You know, Thelma, I've never been a person who thought very much of generators, but I really do think now that we're coming to a time that maybe every household needs their own generator. Do you agree with that?
I don't think all of us could afford our own generators.
What do they call those things? Aren't they called generators that you use
yeah.
in terms of like when the power goes out? Is that
oh,
what
yeah,
called?
But there's different types of generators. You have the portable ones that make all kinds of noise and run on gas. And
that
now
way.
They've got solar generators out. But quite honestly, the small generators, they will only run a certain amount of your appliances. So there are gas generators out there that, you know, usually roughly, I'm going to say, it's usually about $15,000 to add them to your home. They run on gas, and they kick in automatically if the power goes out. I got to tell you, Carrie, years ago, for some reason, even before this issue, there was a video out on YouTube about this gentleman who had developed, this is going to sound strange, but they had developed very small, self-contained, little, like, nuclear plants, if you want to call them that. And what it was developed for was so that each individual community could run off from this power cell type thing that was a nuclear device. And when and if it ever expired, then they would come and they would change it. But each neighborhood could run off of one of these devices buried in the ground. It's not like they'd sit out anywhere. And one of the things that I know Josh has uncovered, and this is why this documentary is so important, one of the things they discovered is a lot of U.S. patents are being held up in this green energy because it really is good, but there's no way to really make money off of it. So they discovered things to be able to generate power that would not emit any kind of emissions or carbon or anything else, but yet and all they aren't approving these patents. They're holding them up.
My reason for making the comment about the generators, y'all, is think along these lines with me for a second. If in the event there was, let's just say, a situation in which, you know, the government in a situation of maybe an uprising decided to cut off everybody's utilities, they could do it from downtown. They don't have to come to your property anymore and do that. In a situation like that, a generator would be a smart thing to have. Just
it would.
You're right. It's all connecting, y'all. That really, with whatever's coming, they're not going to have to come to each individual, you know, person's house and, you know, have that fight with somebody's pulling a gun and threatening to kill somebody and all that. They can just shut us all off at one time with, like, one pull of the lever. And so I would think that it would be smart for every household to have their own generator just in case they decide to do that. But, you know, y'all didn't hear it here, but I'm just saying.
Carrie?
Wow.
You're really starting to think.
Really, that just hit me out of nowhere, you know, that may be a situation that we may be facing. Because you really have to think about, too, in connecting this with a gun control issue, you know, all of a sudden these things just came out of nowhere, and it's just like these pushes to make things happen right away. The smart meter push came in as hard, if not harder, than the gun control bill has. You know what I'm saying? Where all of a sudden they're just in our face with it, and it's going to happen right now. The same way with the gun control issue. It's all of a sudden right in front of you, and it's got to happen right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if it's all connected.
Oh, well, it is. Everything is a big hurry. But the difference with the smart meters is they really were underhanded and snuck all of this through and didn't really let the public know, even though they posted their things out on the PUC and all that stuff. The power companies were very quiet about it, and so it's not like they publicized it anywhere, you know? And so we didn't know what hit us until after it already hit us.
The news media did it. When it happened, we didn't know that they were doing it until people began to complain about it.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting that they wouldn't have told us that, oh, by the way, you know, they're getting ready to change out all of your old analog meters and give you new meters. That was not a news story until people began to complain that there were problems with the smart meter. But let's go here for a second for anyone who is just, you know, maybe for the first time hearing about smart meters. What did you all do, Thelma, to start up your grassroots? I mean, when maybe there's a group of people who, you know, say, wow, we need to start taking some action toward doing something about this. What do you suggest they do to get started in their community or at their church or in their little group? What do you suggest they do?
Well, the biggest thing I suggest they do, am I breaking up at all, Carrie?
You are.
Carrie?
Yeah.
Because you're breaking up a lot.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Why don't you hang up and call back in, and I'm going to give them some information on how to reach out to some of these websites that have a lot of information on smart meters.
Okay, and give them mine, too, because they can sign up for a newsletter.
Give them your website.
912membersusa.com.
Okay. 912membersusa.com. Okay, y'all, if you're just hearing about smart meters for the very first time, don't know where to begin, you know, this information is all new to you, but you're interested enough to know that you need to do something, there's a number of websites that have got a lot of good information about this topic that you maybe need to check out. One of them is BanTexasSmartMeters.com. Cindy Carriger was just with us. She hosts that site, BanTexasSmartMeters.com. They also have a Facebook page, BanTexasSmartMeters. There's also Resist21.com. That's RESIST21.com. There's FreedomAdvocates.org, SmartMeterBlocker.com, SmartMeterSafety.org, refusesmartmeters.com, and Josh Del Sol, who was with us earlier, their website is takebackyourpower.net. All good websites that you can get some really good information. Better? Oh, I think it's...
Ooh, it's worse.
I think it's getting worse.
Those are all good websites. Have you got an open line, Carrie, somewhere?
Let's see. Have we got somebody open that maybe – let's just see if that helps. Okay, yeah, I think we did. Okay, and so those are all good sites that you can check out that give you really good information. Thelma, is that better?
Yes.
Okay. That are all good websites that you can get some really good information about smart meters, because really it's a situation in which a lot of people are really having some health concerns that they could not explain – or connect to anything other than when the smart meter went on their house. Thelma, have you actually talked to some people who have experienced some of those issues?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of members in our organization, and then also a lot of people that are signed up and that are fighting the meters with us who have had a lot of problems. One of the major ones is not being able to sleep at night. Another one that has now come up is a lot of people are experiencing nosebleeds. Tinnitus is a real problem, the ringing in the ears. Anyone with heart conditions should be very cautious around the smart meters. And one of the things is that they use this argument that the smart meters only pulse like every 15 minutes, and then it's a short burst.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, what we're finding is those bursts of energy, everybody thinks when they say 15-minute increments that all houses are pulsing at the same time.
Mm.
But they don't. And so all of the houses in a neighborhood, it'll be one right after another. They all don't push out the energy at the same time or the information at the same time. It has to go in a sequence. So one house does, and it goes to the next house, and then that house does. And so you're constantly surrounded by these continual bursts of electromagnetic frequencies because they're constantly pushing this information out into the environment.
Didn't we find out on one of the previous shows that these meters are even communicating, your meter may be communicating with your neighbor's meter?
Oh, yeah, they all are. That's how it works. One neighbor will start out with their burst. It will then feed the information and relay to the next house. Then it feeds the information relays to the next house until it gets to a collection point where all of the information is bounced off a larger meter to a box, and then it's sent on to the utility or the transmission distribution company, the hub. You know, they'll have a portal, which is what it is. And no matter who your provider is, everybody's information will end up going through that portal eventually, so that it all gets dispersed to the proper provider for billing purposes and whatever other information they're collecting and they're keeping and other, you know. And then the next thing that, and they've already started to roll it out, are the smart chips and the appliances. But I tell you, if they weren't so concerned, if none of these frequencies, these wireless frequencies, were of any harm, within the last 2 weeks, I just saw a big announcement for one of the Samsung Galaxy phones versus the iPad and how it put off less frequencies, and so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as harmful as the other one. Okay, so now you're admitting they're harmful? So now they're all jockeying to try to get their frequency levels down, and that's a selling point for them now.
Wow. I mean, it's a no-win situation with these things. It's absolutely, it's just a no-win situation.
We're killing ourselves with technology. The other thing is what most people don't think about is with these smart meters, it's not just the electrical. It's also, and this is going full bore now, of course, the gas meters are out there, but not everybody has natural gas, but they're full bore going with the water meters, and this is being pushed federally. There are federal studies that have been done, and they are monitoring the water, and they're using all kinds of what-if scenarios to push these meters into place, and they're all guesses. They can't say that the climate is going to do this or the climate is going to do that, but they have this national climate adaptation study that they did, and so now they're coming out with all these recommendations for the water meters, and they're starting to really push those throughout the United States.
I don't know.
And let me throw in here, because this is very concerning. There's a bill that just passed the House, and it's in the Senate now, and this one will also be before the same committee that the smart meter opt-out bill hearing is going to be. It's not going to be held on the same day. Of course, I don't know that yet because they don't have it posted yet, but HB 1600, what they did was to stop the sunset of the PUC, basically. That's what they were supposed to be doing. But now they've given them the authority to regulate the water, the PUC.
Really?
They're doing so well with our electrical that now they're going to do our water, too.
Wow. I mean, you know, this sounds like New World Order stuff, y'all.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
I mean, we have no control over nothing anymore. I mean, everything that we have a problem with when we go to complain, you know, it's all but a done deal. I mean, you go and complain and you're getting all kind of opposition, and, you know, it's all stuff that's been thought out and put together long before we knew anything. So by the time they bring it to us, it's already done. It's a done deal, which is sad. And I know, you know, God is ultimately in control, but you kind of feel like you're rendered powerless in some of these situations.
Yeah, but you know what, Carrie? In reality, and I tell everybody this, you are not powerless.
Mm.
There may be a whole bunch of people who are trying to control us, but as long as individuals, we don't let them, they can't.
Yeah.
It's a question of what you're willing to put up with. And if enough people get the message out and really educate your fellow man, then they won't put up with it. And I don't care what party you come from. I don't care what color your skin is. We're all in this game together, and we're all going to lose together if we allow it to continue.
Mm. So, again, who can a homeowner, if they have an issue and they say, you know what, this new meter went on my house, I don't know much about it, but, you know, I sense that this is causing some health problems, where do they begin their complaint process with? Who do they begin that with?
If they really want to complain, if that's what they're looking to do, then they should go to the PUC, and they really should go to the PUC with a written document. In other words, write them a letter and so that it gets on file with the PUC. And also write a letter to their house rep, their state house rep, and their state senator here in Austin, well, here in Texas, so that they are aware that they are concerned, because the legislature is claiming that they're not hearing from the public on this issue.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. How helpful has the PUC, which stands for the Public Utilities Commission, how helpful have they been?
Not at all.
Really?
Oh, sure. They're actually standing in our way on all of this. I mean, that's why we have our appeal in to the courts, so that we can at least get a public hearing on this, because it's the PUC who have denied the public a public hearing. Now, when this first all came about way back in 2005 and 2007, and by the way, it was Centerpoint that instigated all this, just so everybody knows.
Mm.
They took this story to the legislature that, oh, my gosh, when the hurricane come through, if we had had this technology, we could get everything up and running faster, and we need to upgrade the grid and blah, 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 blah. So they sold them this bill of goods. Truth be told, if a hurricane comes through and downs the power lines, I don't care how many smart meters you have, you aren't going to turn the electricity on if the power lines are down.
Oh,
right?
That's true. Very true.
So I'm not quite sure how anybody was gullible enough to swallow this, but I can tell you that it was the our PUC commission at the time, it's not the current commissioners that sit on the board now, that went to the White House, and our Texas model was something that they used to convince the other states to go this route. And a lot of that stimulus money is still being used to get the states to implement the smart grid and the smart meters.
You know, you would have to think that it must have cost an enormous amount of money to put these smart meters on every home and every business. Basically, they were saying to us that it was because they were going to be more efficient. Well, now we realize that's not necessarily true. They're not more efficient. So why otherwise would they have done this at such an enormous cost? I mean,
there's a lot of reasons. Number one, the power generators are the ones that are going to benefit from this. Those are the plants that actually generate the power. The utilities will benefit to some degree because it will furlough a lot of employees. And all this garbage that they have shared about how people aren't losing their jobs, it just isn't true. They are losing their jobs.
That's true.
So they actually will do away with actual human beings, personnel, we're earning a living, okay? It's no different than when the automobile plants started to be automotive and they started to let people go because of the new technology. This is basically the same thing that's happening with the grid. But the major thing with the grid is there is a new vision for this country, and it didn't start with Barack Obama. This has been in the works since at least the early 2000s. So George Bush was involved in this and created a lot of these commissions that we see now that are coming out with all of these studies. And let me tell you, the non-governmental organizations are heavily involved in these studies. And they are just making it so this world will be equalized whether you like it or not. And the only thing that stands in their way is the American public. So if the American public isn't woke up, if they don't wake up, then we're in real trouble. We have got to get Americans who value their freedom this information so that they will stand against those who would like to control all of us. And we can do it. We can do it. They need us in order to go further with their own plans.
Well, I agree. I 100% agree. You know, y'all, the last few minutes of the show, we're gonna let you listen to a YouTube video by Dr. David Carpenter. He studied with the Harvard Medical School and trained He trained with the Harvard Medical School, and then he also headed up the New York State Department of Public Health for 18 years. But he has a YouTube video in which he tells you how unsafe these smart meters are. So go figure. But tonight we want to say thank you to Ms. Thelma Tormita for being with us tonight, and also to Mr. Josh Del Sol for being with us. Josh's website is TakeYourPowerBack.net, and Thelma Tormita's website is 912MembersUSA.com. 912Members.com. Okay. And a reminder, y'all, join us here each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, as we do what we do. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a coworker to check out the show. Also, y'all, next week, I'm sorry, Thelma?
Carrie, just one more plug for the film. Watch for and sign up for our emails, because we will be announcing when those advanced screenings will be taking place, and they'll be taking place soon. And it's not just going to be in one location in Texas. It's going to be all over Texas.
Really? And that's Josh's documentary title, what?
Take Back Your Power.
Take Back Your Power. The Smart Meter Agenda Unveiled is the title of that documentary. And also, y'all, next week, you need to come back here for sure next week. We're going to be talking to the Chicago Teachers Union and some of the parents of the students in the Chicago School District. The topic next week is racism behind the Chicago school closings? Is racism behind the Chicago school closings? That's going to be a great show, y'all. Also, a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. Okay, y'all, listen. Again, thank you to Thelma. Thank you to Josh Del Sol for being with us. And we're going to take you out tonight with this YouTube video from Dr. David Carpenter about how unsafe smart meters really are. Okay, y'all, see you next week. Bye-bye.
An informed person should demand that they be allowed to keep their analog meter.